Welcome everyone to the MLB podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. I'm your host, Munaf Manji, here to get you guys ready for another week of MLB betting. Coming off of an excellent podcast with at least our best bets. We'll get into that here in a minute. But now we are officially, I could say knee deep into baseball season, with now the NBA season onto the playoffs. And I know NHL playoffs are right around the corner here as well. But joining me here to help me break everything down on the diamond, it's the man himself, Griffin Warner. Griffin, what's going on, my man? How you doing this Sunday evening?
I'm doing well. Had a good Sunday. We've swept our best bets. I feel like we do that more often than we don't, which is really great at this point in the season. Pumped about that. I feel like things are boiling and a good boil right now. So I'm pumped about it. Looking forward to this episode.
Yeah, 7-3 now. I believe it's going to be our best bet record. 70%. We will take that every single
day. Not too shabby, you know.
Not too bad. Not too bad. So great start to the season as far as our best bets are concerned for the MLB season thus far. So hopefully we can keep it rolling here for the Monday games to start the new week of betting here in April. Just some thoughts around the diamond here. We did get the news about Spencer Strider, the inevitable. Did have surgery there, Griffin, to repair his UCL. Of course, he will be missing the remainder of the season for the Atlanta Braves. Just a huge blow there for their ace pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. I'm sure they'll be active in the trade market when the trade deadline does come up, or maybe even before that. But, you know, it's just been a theme early on in the season here for the Houston Astros, for the teams around the league. Just missing, you know, not even like pitchers, but it's been star pitchers, Cy Young worthy pitchers. And another one bites the dust here, Griffin.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I actually wasn't sure that Strider was down for the year until I saw people starting to drop him in fantasy. So I feel like I was like, okay, well, I guess if he's getting dropped, then that must have been confirmed or something like that. You know, it's sad to see. I part of me wonders, like, are we potentially overreacting because this happens every April and it sucks every April, no matter, we'll be saying this next year in 2025. Hopefully, Lord willing, the creek don't rise. We're doing this podcast still. But I think my general take on this whole thing is the pitchers are usually either already damaged coming into years or get damaged during the season. It's amazing. And it's probably why the playoffs are so wild, intense, and awesome to watch, because it really is a completely different season than what we watch. We watch these teams try to qualify, and that's a big deal. And I think I understand now why they celebrate division titles so much, but it literally is all about just getting into the dance and hoping you have as healthy of a shoe or starting pitcher or just pitching staff as possible to dance as far as you can.
Yeah, I feel like that's obviously a theme in any sport. I mean, we talk about the MLB, but I think it's really more important. We talk about pitching rotations and things like that, because you want those ace pitchers to be healthy for, you know, starting multiple games in a series, right? Obviously get the game one nod and maybe come back game four or five and possibly even enter game seven as well as a relief pitcher or in some capacity as well. So you want those guys to be healthy. So I think it's been a bigger deal this season that we've talked about, because it's been more of the key guys, the all-star, the Cy Young worthy pitchers that we've talked about that have suffered those UCL injuries. Anything else, Griffin, around the diamond that you noticed over the course of the weekend before we get into the games?
Not necessarily. I mean, we're certainly running into a lot of bullpen games because of all these starters going down. Yeah. I feel like that's something that, like, the Rays today trying to figure out who's going to be the bulk guy. I was deep in the weeds, and it seemed like Tyler Alexander, who had been getting lit up this year, and then ended up the Rays outpitched Blake Snell, who got off to a late start to his season because he was searching for the best contract he could get. No shame in that, but it's wild. I am remembering how much work it takes to bet baseball. Even though there's only 30 teams, there is so much you need to know. Lineups that come out at random times before games that start at random times. Use your alarm features to try to make sure you don't miss starting times. I'll say that a million times this year, but at least one more time right now.
Yeah, it's also that time of year where you're getting a lot of games that are going to get postponed because of weather. You run into those double headers on the following days, or maybe just getting rescheduled for the later time in the summer where weather's not a huge factor here. So, let's rock it as usual here, Griffin. We got 12 games that are posted by the books right now as far as betting lines go. And we'll start here with a very early start tomorrow for Patriot Day in Boston. It's also the Boston Marathon Day in the city of Boston. It's going to be 11:10 Eastern start. Boston Red Sox, they are hosting the Cleveland Guardians. I'm seeing Xavion Curry, not related to Steph Curry, I don't believe, gets the nod for the Cleveland Guardians. And Cutter Crawford's getting the start here for the Boston Red Sox. Red Sox are a -125 home favorite, +105 on the money line for the Guardians. Total is set at 9.5 in this game here, Griffin. Run line -1.5, +154 for the Red Sox, and +1.5, -185 for the Cleveland Guardians here. Curry versus Crawford here. Griffin, where are we going with this game?
Yeah, I don't think Xavion Curry came out of Sonya Curry, I'll put it that way. But I could be surprised, I guess. You know, this is a don't adjust your television sets, radio, Spotify, podcasts, platforms, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you're watching us. It is a very early start, Patriots Day. I think it's really set up to go right after the Boston Marathon, which clearly had some big problems a few years ago, unfortunately. But hopefully security is taken care of. I feel like usually it's a wraparound series for a team that's in for the weekend. But today or this year, they decided to put the Red Sox on the West Coast for like 12 or 13 straight days, it felt like. And now, I mean, whoever makes the schedules in Major League Baseball, I would love to have a word, but don't think that'll ever occur. So we'll just talk about it, I guess. It feels like a really short price. So Cleveland had a wild game today with win probabilities going from 12% to 93% all the way across the gamut. It was an awesome game, and it was pretty wild just coming in to see a blown save from a Cleveland closer that I just never really expect anybody to hit a 99-mile-an-hour cutter. But Cleveland also had a doubleheader on Saturday after a rainout on Friday with the New York Yankees. Somehow salvaged a win today, so that was huge. But they're going to be, I mean, as I think David Fry said after the game, who hit a major double off the wall in extra innings to, I guess, overturn a deficit. He said it's going to be a very loud flight, and I agree with him. I do wonder, I mean, a lot of times they say the sleep or the jet lag or whatever will affect you more the next day rather than that first day you're there. But this is going to be a very early start. It was mentioned in the post-game interview. It's, you know, you have to get up early. He's like, I'm looking forward to it. It's like a Bart Scott can't wait from years ago in the NFL. Cutter Crawford's been good, though, and I don't really have any belief in Xavion Curry. I think Boston is probably the inferior of these two teams. At least those are my expectations at the moment, but they're priced like it, basically as a standard priced home favorite in a game that I feel like Boston has had really good results in going back a long time because they're usually at home. And it's a big deal, I think, to start a game at 11:10 Eastern time. Glad we're recording this tonight, so we make sure to get it out to people. But I'll go the Red Sox. I'll lay the -125. I feel like it's short enough and probably climbs more tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You mentioned Cutter Crawford has been absolutely fantastic through the first three starts for the Boston Red Sox. 15 2/3 innings pitch. He's only allowed one earned run in that span. 7 hits he's only allowed in that span as well. So he's doing a fantastic job of keeping runners off of the bases. Walks have been a little bit of concern for him. He's allowed at least 7 walks over the last two starts combined. But I think there's an opportunity for him to continue his pitching success thus far this season against his Guardians team. Last season against the Guardians, he was really good as well, was Cutter Crawford. And also, I believe I saw a note that Alex Cora said that Rafael Devers should be back in the lineup as well for the Boston Red Sox.
So that could explain some of this number being as small as it is. Does it feel like awkwardly short to you? Like I'm surprised at honestly how low it is. And like, I don't know that I'm one of those, oh, the market knows, Vegas knows type of people, but I do pay attention when a number is pretty different from what I was expecting.
Especially for Xavion Curry first start this season as well. He hasn't made even a bullpen appearance here either for the Cleveland Guardians. So this number, I like you mentioned, I do expect to climb here. Currently -125 on DraftKings right now. And it's all the way up to -134 on FanDuel right now as well. So again, definitely shop around for the best number here, but I'm definitely with you on the Red Sox here against the Guardians on Patriots Day. Getting over to the next game on the schedule, we've got a 6:36 Eastern start. It's going to be the Minnesota Twins. They are in Baltimore to take on the Orioles. Louis Varland gets a start here for the Minnesota Twins, and Cole Irvin is on the mound here for the Orioles. Orioles are a minus 155 home favorite, plus 130 on the money line for the Minnesota Twins. Total is set at 9. Run line -1.5, plus 130 for the Orioles, and +1.5, minus 155 here for the Minnesota Twins here, Griffin. We think about Varland versus Cole Irvin.
So Varland, I feel like, tempts me a little bit here because I think I was very impressed by him last season in what felt like kind of short duty. Wasn't up for so long. One of the young arms that Minnesota's trying to protect. I'm not sure exactly if he was ineffective or got injured or what exactly happened, but I took the Tigers today. I've been backing the Tigers a lot so far this season, and that was an unexpected turnaround victory. The Minnesota bullpen coughed up a 3-0 lead in the eighth inning, and I feel like that's going to be a problem consistently for Minnesota until they get Juan Duran back, their closer, who I don't know when he's coming back. I think he's an oblique, which is not great for any sort of pitcher, especially not a closer that throws 100 and a million gas miles an hour. So, that's probably the side I want. I feel like Cole Irvin is priced pretty high right now at the minus 155 that you just said. Baltimore, honestly, are not really playing anywhere near like they did last season so far. Haven't really gotten a ton of respect. I mean, closing an underdog at home, Tyler Wells, to Freddie Peralta on Friday was pretty surprising. Yes, Freddie's a great arm, but I got suckered into the Orioles that one and literally never turned it on because by the time I saw the score, it was 10-1. So I just feel like I don't know that I don't really trust Baltimore as much right now. They have so much talent, but they don't have enough like contract space or cap space, or they got a lot of talent in the minors right now. I think that's a problem for kind of how this team's moving forward, how they balance that all out. I don't really know what to do with this one, honestly. It probably like over 9, but it's also a really tough park for overs.
Yeah. Jackson Holliday, I should have mentioned that at the top of the show as well. He got called up for the Orioles and did get his first hit on the Sunday games against the Brewers. He had a single in a crucial moment for the Baltimore Orioles. They did get the victory 6-4 here. I wasn't sure to where to go either with this game because I don't trust either one of these pitchers. Varland, he's 0-2 with a 9 ERA, but I mean, you take a look at the two offenses that he's faced. The Brewers have been absolutely raking this season. I don't think that's been talked about at all. And then he had the Dodgers in his second start. We allowed 6 earned runs in 5 innings. So he's allowed 9 earned runs in 9 innings thus far this season. Cole Irvin hasn't been very good either. I mean, to say the least, 2 starts this season, he's gone 5 innings in both of those starts. He's allowed at least 7 hits in both of those starts and at least 4 earned runs in each of those 2 starts as well. So, like you mentioned, right, we haven't seen the Baltimore Orioles at the domination that we saw last season. And maybe a lot of that has to do with maybe some of their pitching and the runs that they have given up here. So I would lean towards the over 9 in this game. I'm not sure if I want to lay a minus 155 price right now with Cole Irvin on the mound for the Baltimore Orioles. But I do think that these 2 starters can give up runs, maybe pivot to a first 5 over, I think would be the look here for me between Varland and Cole Irvin. Next game on the schedule, 6:40 Eastern start, the Colorado Rockies. They are headed to the city of brotherly love to take on the Phillies. Cal Quantrill gets a start here for the Colorado Rockies and Aaron Nola on the mound here for the Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies an overwhelming minus 265 home favorite, plus 215 on the money line for the Rockies. Total is set at 8.5, run line -1.5, minus 122 for the Phillies, and +1.5, plus 102 for the Colorado Rockies here. Griffin, Rockies on the road against the Phillies.
Wow. I'm glad I wasn't eating something as you read off these Philadelphia Phillies prices. Aaron Nola, who doesn't really start years very strong and has looked pretty average so far, is almost a $3 favorite. I mean, I remember the days when $3 favorites didn't show up till like end of August, September. We're literally almost there, and it's April 14th, 15th recording for tax day. If you haven't gotten them in, don't forget. I'm going to be spending probably all of tonight and tomorrow doing that. But regardless, Man, I don't trust Cal Quantrill at all. I don't really like Aaron Nola. I'm hoping that he's going to be priced like this again against a competent team. I don't think the Rockies are one of those, but give me over 8.5. I don't trust at all either of these pitchers. We've had some weird stuff going on in the Phillies bullpen as well, with Alvarado not being used in a save chance lately. So, and then you got the Rockies, who I don't trust to close out any games. I think the big concern for over is if Colorado just doesn't score, but I feel like Nola probably is like a 6 innings, 3 runs type of quality start, minimum quality start, but probably gets one. And that, I think, puts you on path for a lot of runs in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned right there that I think Nola will give up a couple here, whether it's 2 or 3 runs. The walks have also been a concern for Aaron Nola over his last 2 starts. 7 walks, he's allowed an 11 2/3 innings pitch for the Philadelphia Phillies. And you know, I faded Cal Quantrill a couple of pods ago and worked out very well for me. So I think that, you know, both these starters, and like you mentioned, the Rockies bullpen will probably give up the runs here as well. So yeah, I'm with you over 8.5 in this game. I want to see Nola get to that form that we know we are accustomed to seeing with him. I know he gets off to a rough start here, but it kind of settles in after that. But I don't want to lay that even that run line price right now, just because it is Aaron Nola. If it was Zach Wheeler, this would probably be a $3 favorite. Then I would be comfortable because Zach Wheeler has just been a monster. But Aaron Nola, you know, he's given up at least 3 earned runs in all 3 starts this season. And the I'm sorry, Cal Quantrill has given up all three, at least 3 earned runs in all 3 starts this season. And the Rockies have lost all 3 of those games this season as well. 2 of the 3 games have seen at least 10 or more runs combined in those games. So I'm right there with you on the over 8.5 between the Rockies and the Phillies. Another 6:40 Eastern start. We got the Texas Rangers. They are in Detroit to take on the Tigers. Michael Lorenzen gets a start here for the Texas Rangers. And Reese Olson is on the mound here for the Detroit Tigers. Tigers, a slight home underdog, +102 on the money line, -122 for the Texas Rangers. Total is set at 9 with juice towards the under at -120. Run line, -1.5, +136 for the Rangers, and +1.5, -162 for the Detroit Tigers here. Griffin, your team, the team that you've been backing, Tigers, they're hosting the World Series champs here, my man. What are you thinking?
Yeah, two teams that I've been actually betting a lot of so far this season, with some mixed results, very good ones on Detroit and very mixed on Texas so far. But Michael Lorenzen coming up was rumored to be stealing John Gray's rotation spot. Then they were rumored that the Rangers were going to six man rotation, as reported by Emily Jones, beat writer, sideline reporter, or whatever we call them in baseball. Dugout reporter. But then I think they put Cody Bradford on the IL today. So I guess we're back from six man to five man. So I guess the Lord works in mysterious ways, or just pitcher injuries do. I'm a little bit surprised to see Texas favored, because I think I'm now to a point with Texas where they can certainly still win games, still have a really great top of the order. But that lineup is not as long as it used to be. They're missing too many bats at this point, and I just don't really trust them to do what I mean. They used to just basically make everyone submit. They'd bash the ball, knock your starter out, and then get into your bullpen early. I feel like Reese Olson is still one of those kind of up-and-coming projects. Doesn't have a ton of luster to his name so far, but he's had some really good strikeout performances over the last season plus. I think he, I mean, it's going to be a big test for him, but it's in a great ballpark for keeping. I mean, you basically can't hit home runs to center field unless you, I mean, probably Adolis Garcia probably could, but like not many can, unless you have a beach body like born into one. So I think that's the side I want here. Home underdog, give me that +102.
Yeah, I think I'm with you here. I think I need to see more of this Rangers team. I don't know if it's a World Series hangover. I know they've been dealing with some injuries and things like that. The Astros, surprisingly, I think I want to say took 2 out of 3 from this
They did,
Rangers team. Yeah, and actually starting to win some games here at home, which is a
Hey now.
yeah. Hey, look out now for this Astros team. So and now you know coming off of this series against the Astros, traveling into Detroit where you were playing inside of the juice box. Now you have to go into an outdoor stadium, especially this time of year, or I should say outdoor. Yeah, in Detroit. In Detroit, I trust them more at home, right? And I think that I know Reese Olson has been okay thus far this season. I know that some of the you know people I like to talk to when I talk about baseball has said to fade Olson, but I think I trust him here at home. I know he had a rough start against the Pirates. I'll take that +102 price right now as well as the home underdog right now. You can find them. Yeah, that's the best price right now, plus 102 here
I'm
for
so
Reese
sorry you have
Olsen.
Reese Olsen haters in your life. I had no idea he even had a fan club nor a hate club.
It's more Tigers fans than like any
Okay.
other type of fans, so they're really familiar with Reese Olsen there. So yeah, I'll trust him here in this home spot against the Texas Rangers. Another 6:40 Eastern start. Let's head down to South Beach, the Miami Marlins. They are hosting the San Francisco Giants. AJ Puck gets a start here for the Miami Marlins, and it will be Kyle Harrison for the San Francisco Giants. Marlins are an even money on the money line. The Giants slight road favorites here, minus 120 on the money line. Total is set at 8 in this game. Run line for the Giants, minus 1.5, plus 140, and plus 1.5, minus 166 for the Miami Marlins and AJ Puck. I think you and I on the last pod or the two pods ago, we're trying to fade AJ Puck, and then just came out and looked like a Cy Young pitcher, at least for 4 2/3 innings against the New York Yankees. But now back at home, he's 0-3 for the 5.91 ERA here. Do the Giants bats get to him here, Griffin?
man. I gotta say, I think my expectations for looking like a Cy Young might be a little bit different than yours, Munaf. I gotta say at this point. But AJ Puck, I mean, like droppable in fantasy leagues, despite having all these accolades and pedigree from his time with Oakland, trying to make him into a starter, and I guess they're gonna continue. I guess, you know, if you keep yelling at a cloud, eventually it'll respond. At this point, I haven't seen anything to make me believe that AJ Puck is built for. I feel like he's trying to throw more consistently in a certain speed that's not max effort so he can go longer in games. And that's really throwing off his mechanics, rotation, however it is. And it's not working. I'm still very interested in betting that it will continue to not work until it does. I don't think the start at the Yankees, though, it certainly was an improvement because it had to be. I'm still not sold. And Kyle Harrison, I mean, he's got great strikeout numbers. We know Miami really struggles with lefties, but at this point, I mean, he to me is very inconsistent. Very, I would almost say wild. So over eight, I think I'm back to the well. I'll get an over on AJ Puck eventually.
Yeah. So I think it was, yeah, that game that we had talked about where we took the over, or at least, I was on the Yankees team total over. I think you took the full game over. They just weren't able to capitalize it with runners in scoring position. I mean, you take a look at how many walks he's given up in the first three starts, 14 walks and 10 2/3 innings pitched. And if you're going to be able to take advantage of AJ Puck, obviously you have to cash in on those opportunities. And the Angels were able to do it. The Pirates were able to do it. The Yankees just weren't able to do it. Now the question is, are the Giants going to be able to do it? I think they can. And I think that if they stay patient at the plate, draw those walks, manufacture runs with their small ball or, using their speed on the bases, I think there's an opportunity for the Giants to, get to him early and often here. Like you mentioned, Kyle Harrison has that strikeout ability. He's been pretty good, I should say, this far this season for the San Francisco Giants here. So yeah, I'm gonna fade AJ Puck one more time here. Give me the over 8 with you, but I am gonna be on the Giants here, a minus 120 on the money line right now against the Marlins. 6:50 Eastern start. The LA Angels, they are headed to Tampa to take on the Rays. Patrick Sandoval on the mound here for the Angels, and Zach Eflin gets a start here for the Tampa Bay Rays. Rays are a minus 162 home favorite, plus 136 on the money line for the Angels. Total is set at 8 in this game. Run line minus 1.5, plus 136 for the Rays, and plus 1.5, minus 162 for the Angels here, Griffin. Angels versus Rays, what are we thinking?
So Zach Eflin to me, start of the year priced like he was a Cy Young candidate, and it seemed like a lot of people were talking about him with high expectations, maybe to be in a Cy Young race, maybe with AJ Puck, maybe not. But I think at this point, I don't know that he is. Like he's good and is a very talented pitcher and had a really great run in Philadelphia specifically before he moved to Tampa, or was moved to Tampa. I don't know that he is like one of the top tier pitchers out there, but I think he can get through an Angels lineup that maybe has outperformed so far this season. I feel like the Angels have literally started the season on the East Coast, went back West Coast for a little while and came directly back East Coast. That's not great for body clocks, all that sort of stuff, and makes me wonder have another how the schedule is made. But I think at this point, I'm not really a believer in Patrick Sandoval. But when he's good, he's really good. And I feel like the Rays lineup, it seemed to put on a ton of runs today against Blake Snell. They don't have the same type of book on Patrick Sandoval as he hasn't been in the organization and didn't win a Cy Young for the club. So I'll go under eight here. I feel like the Trop is one of my favorite under parks. It's really hard to hit home runs there. And I guess I'm sort of backing Eflin against a weaker lineup. And I feel like Sandoval doesn't even have to be great to make an under live here. So give me under eight.
This is RJ, and here's what I know for sure. In the last few years, there's been a change in what people wear. Maybe it was COVID, maybe it's the evolution of things. I don't know. But what I know is this: there's a merging. The things that maybe before you had this outfit for the beginning of the day, then later you have another out. No, the lines, they're blurring. And you know, American Giant is the company to help you take advantage of that. This spring, whether you're dressing for work, the gym, or happy hour, you'll have something you love in your closet from American Giant. Their classic full-zip hoodie is iconic, and it's the jacket that started it all for American Giant. It's a body-slimming fit with double-lined hood, and the reinforced elbow patches mean the hoodie will last. Find a closet staple for every part of your spring days at American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use the code RJ at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code RJ.
Yeah, Zach Eflin actually faced his Angels team in his last start in Anaheim and actually got blasted. 5 innings, he allowed 5 earned runs, 9 hits in that game, and the Rays went on to lose that game 7-1. But I think it's an opportunity for him to bounce back here at home, which last season we know Zach Eflin was absolutely phenomenal at Tropicana Field for the Rays. And just take a look at the splits last season for Zach Eflin at home, 11-4 with a 3.30 ERA. Similar ERA on the road, just a little bit higher, 3.77 last season. But you know, maybe exceeded expectations last year, definitely. But I think this might be a spot where he can bounce back here. I know 2 of his 3 starts have been bad. Had a really good start at home against the Texas Rangers, so I think he can replicate that. Makes fix some of the issues that he did have against that Angels lineup. Patrick Sandoval, I mean, like you mentioned, this has been a guy that has all the potential, but he hasn't been able to put it together. And this season, he's off to a rough start as well. He's given up at least 2 walks in every single start, and he's given up the hits and the runs as well. He's allowed at least 2 earned runs in all 3 of his starts, made it to the 6th inning in every one of his starts as well. And he did face his Rays team as well, his last start back on Tuesday, where he did allow 4 earned runs in 5 innings. So I like Eflin to bounce back here. Not sure if I can get there with the run line here, even though it is a very nice plus price right now, but I will be on the money line here for the Tampa Bay Rays against the
Yeah, so
LA
going a little bit
Angels.
deeper, Zach Eflin, 20% or so better whip at home versus away in his career, which is especially wild pitching in Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia, one of the smallest ballparks in Major League Baseball for years. And I think his ERA 40% better. So, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
Home
I agree.
splits right there for sure.
There we go. All right, 7:07 Eastern start. AL East battle between the New York Yankees. They continue their road trip. They are headed to Canada to take on the Blue Jays. Lewis Gill gets a start here for the New York Yankees, and Chris Bassitt on the mound here for the Toronto Blue Jays. Blue Jays are a slight home favorite here, -115 on the money line, -105 for the New York Yankees. 8.5 is the total with juice towards you over at -120 here. Yankees, Blue Jays here. AL East battle. Griffin, what are we thinking?
So, Chris Bassett, another one of those really great home splits, I believe. Hard to explain necessarily why once he left Oakland, but I guess you just have to just take your medicine and believe it. I'm glad we're in a situation now where we're not having to handicap who's vaccinated to try to figure out who's going to be available for trips to Toronto. That was thankfully many moons ago, and hopefully we'll never come back again. Luis Gil is a great strikeout pitcher, but he's not lasting very long in games. New York had a bullpen that had to do a lot of work today. Nestor Cortes was really good for a while. Made a big mistake, I guess, left one, not maybe not even that bad of a mistake to Jose Ramirez, and then eventually got kind of a quick hook. And then a bunch of parade of relievers came in. Clay Holmes worked today, he worked yesterday. Tough situation, I think, for New York with a potentially limited starter, and I don't think Luis Gil has finished five innings yet this year. So it's to me like a lot of Yankees bullpen against the Toronto team that just got a home series with the Rockies, which didn't probably go as according to plan as they hoped. But give me that Blue Jays minus 115 at home.
Yeah, Chris Bassitt. I mean, two rough starts, which was against the Astros and the Rays. A lot of four earned runs in each of those starts, and he had success against that Seattle Mariners offense that has been struggling, I think, to say the least. 6 2/3, 5 hits. He allowed 4 walks in that game. He did have 8 strikeouts. I'm gonna go on the other side here. I think the Yankees bats are gonna be able to get to Chris Bassitt here in this game. The Toronto Blue Jays offense has just been a little bit inconsistent for me to start this season. I know they had obviously good success in this past series. Maybe that's what they needed to cure the bats against the Colorado Rockies, and maybe they were able to carry that momentum against the Yankees here. But I think Yankees have been just been that more consistent team for me, whether it's been pitching, whether it's been batting. I don't think their pitching has been talked about enough, how well they have done throughout the season here. So I'm going to go with the Yankees here on the short price of minus 105 right now. Currently over on DraftKings, just scouring the lines here. You can get a, yeah, that's the best price right now, minus 105 currently over on DraftKings. Griffin, a lot of great things happening right now on pregame.com. Obviously, we're going to be on to the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, MLB. Of course, we're here for that. But let our listeners, so what can they take advantage of right now on pregame.com?
Unfortunately, this promo code does not have my name in it, so I'm not as famous as I once was. But use the promo code MLB50, Major League Baseball 50, good for $50. You get discounted subscriptions to the All-Star break for your favorite pro, whoever you might want. Maybe me specifically. I earned 18, a little over 18 units, 18.3 last season, shooting for 20 minimum this year. We'll see what happens. Check in with us in October. But MLB Pod listeners, you're actually able to get a reduced $50 off a subscription to the All-Star break, available for $477, cut to $427. So save that $50. You get to run all the way through the All-Star break. I also have other packages out there going the whole season, the entire year, if you want to get on a big soccer weekend that we just had this weekend. It's good for 7 days from the podcast release. So you got until the 22nd of April, but don't wait. Go save some money with your tax refund once it comes in. I think the government pays that pretty quickly. Just kidding. Probably not. But anyway, use that promo code MLB50. And if you do use a promo code, it probably will guarantee more episodes of Munaf and myself. So throw that in there, MLB50, and go save $50.
Yeah, make sure you guys use that promo code MLB50. We would love to continue the pod here for you guys, but we can do that with your help. So again, go to pregame.com. Make sure you guys use that promo code MLB50. All right, Griffin, let's get over to the next game on the schedule. We got a 7:10 Eastern start. The Pittsburgh Pirates, they are headed to Citi Field to take on the Mets. Adrian Hauser gets a start here for the New York Mets, and it'll be Martin Perez for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Currently, the Mets are a minus 120 home favorite with an even money line for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Total is set at 8.5. A little juice to the under at minus 118. Run line minus 1.5, plus 170 for the Mets, and plus 1.5, minus 205. Dare I say, the Mets have found some type of offense here, Griffin.
Well, I think you just dared to say it. I gotta say though, probably something I should have said that I was thinking about earlier today, and then I didn't just completely blanked on it when you asked me what are my thoughts on the weekend. The Pittsburgh Pirates, I mean, maybe they're just the April Pirates or like whatever that term would be, March, April, Mar April. Sounds kind of actually illegal, so probably shouldn't say that. But you know, it's been an awesome start 2 years in a row. Here's a test though, because the Mets haven't really been great to start the year, but started turning on at Cincinnati. I've been hearing from Mets people that we're back. So I don't, it's a long, I mean, Mets fans are one of a kind, I feel like. I don't know a ton of Tigers fans, I'll admit, though. I will be going to the NFL draft and going to a
Nice.
Tigers Royals baseball game one of the days in April, in just a couple weeks for a bachelor party, which will be probably obscene. But, we'll see what the weather will look like then, and it might be the two best teams in the AL. Who knows? I would love for that to be the case. But back to this game, I think Pittsburgh. I like him. I mean, even money, it's not a huge plus sign. I imagine it grows from here. I don't think there's a lot of people backing Pittsburgh. And the New York Mets name means a lot. I think the budget payroll means a lot. And the fan base means a lot. And I think Adrian Hauser is a pitcher I've already been against this year. I don't think he's, I mean, he's somehow made it in the major leagues, bounced around a little bit, but has been a pitch to contact guy that's barely survived a lot of places. Pittsburgh is still not a very dominant lineup or a scary lineup ultimately, but Martin Perez is basically the same guy, except has had much more that he's accomplished in his career. He's done it a bunch of places. I trust Martin Perez. And I feel like Martin Perez is always undervalued because people don't think he's good and never have, yet he's probably in his like 13th year in the major leagues. So Pittsburgh plus 100, I'll take it.
I mean, you said it, Martin Perez undervalued, I think, is a statement for him, especially this season. 1-0 with a 1.89 ERA. He's only allowed 4 earned runs in 19 innings pitched. And
come on, Pirates, give him some runs, please.
So his first two starts, he did get a 7-run support, but I'm pretty sure that came, at least in the Miami game, it came in the later half of that game where the Marlins bullpen did Marlin bullpen things. And again, the bullpen for the Pirates blew it in his last start against the Tigers, where, get this, Griffin. So Martin Perez in that game against the Tigers, 8 innings, 7 strikeouts, 6 hits, only allowed 1 earned run. The Pirates went on to lose that game 5-3. So, I think that, if you want to back Martin Perez here, I'll probably do the first 5 innings. He has gone 6 2/3 against the Nationals. Like I mentioned, 8 innings against the Detroit Tigers. Couldn't talk you off the full game either. But I would look at the Pirates' first 5 full game. I like it here as well. I'm not all the way there with this Mets lineup and their ability to score runs just yet. I feel like you and I just talked about Adrian Hauser as well. And how much do you really trust him? And I'm not sure I can, again, do that. Yeah, I don't have much faith in him. And again, when you pair that with this offense of the Mets, it just leads me here to the Pirates. And like you mentioned, until I see that April on my calendar, that's the time I want to back the Pirates. So that's going to be the play here for me as well. Next game on the schedule, 7:40 Eastern start. The San Diego Padres, fresh off of their series victory against the Dodgers and the Sunday night baseball victory against the Dodgers. They are headed to Milwaukee to take on the Brewers. Joe Musgrove gets a start here for the Padres, and Joe Ross gets a start here for the Milwaukee Brewers. The Padres are a -125 road favorite, +105 on the money line for the Milwaukee Brewers. 8.5 is the total in this game here. Griffin, what are we thinking? Padres, Brewers?
Man, I know from last year's MLB pod with Scott Seidenberg that he really loved just always talking about how Sunday night baseball participants really struggle, especially if they have to travel. And it's even worse. I mean, not that San Diego is so far from Los Angeles, but it's probably 3 hours by car, even though it should be probably 20 minutes. I think this is an issue for San Diego. They're going, I mean, celebrate the win, of course. Big series for them at Chavez Ravine. But now they go to a really talented Milwaukee team that maybe is more talented than anyone really is talking about. Hitting the ball, you already mentioned on this podcast, they've been crushing the ball. I don't really know that just Joe Musgrove. I mean, he's got great stuff when he's on, of course, and can win this game, certainly with a great outing. I just don't know that. I mean, I'm very surprised to see them, the Padres, a -125 road favorite. Figured that Milwaukee would be favored here. I didn't think it'd be a big favorite by any means. Joe Ross is still working his way back from, I think he was more of a potential guy before he got hurt, and then he got hurt again, and there are some flaws. The Milwaukee bullpen is looking a little bit scary at the moment, trying to fill in for Devin Williams. And I feel like though there are a lot of roles that are up in the air, but at this point, I'll take the home dog, especially with a team that has to travel late night while Milwaukee has already, probably before the game even started, were after the rain delay, we're probably already at home and taking care of business, maybe doing their taxes or something like that. So give me Milwaukee +105.
Griffin is worried, very, very worried about you guys doing your taxes. So make sure you guys get those.
I'm worried about my own. That's what's, I think, coming through.
Either that, get it done, or you make sure you file that extension to get that additional time to get your taxes in. Preferably you do it by April 15th on Monday. I want to ask you a question here, Griffin. How much stock do you put in to teams that play Sunday night baseball and have to travel the next day, like the Padres in that situation? Is it something that you look at later in the season, or is it something you don't look at all?
I don't think I've ever looked at it at all until okay. Scott mentioned it all the time on last year's pregame.com MLB podcast. And then it started to come, like, I think he started to pick whoever was traveling and whatever he thought was the worst travel from Sunday Night Baseball to wherever they were headed. And it worked really well. I'm not a trend player blindly, but it did certainly make me think about it. I think that baseball players are creatures or humans or all those sort of things. So I think it does matter. And I'm not really a believer in San Diego. They've gotten off to a good start. Yeah. The quick interview after the game on SportsCenter saying how this is a new and different San Diego team, but it's also like missing a ton of talent. So from what they had just a few months ago, really. So I think I'm looking for reasons to be against San Diego, a road favorite in Milwaukee, where I trust that franchise, whether Craig Council's managing the team or not. It's not enough to keep me away from Milwaukee, Lean. I'll put it that way.
I mean, a different Padres team, but they are 9-9 to start the season with a +6 run differential. We'll just leave it at that. But yeah, I'm with you on the Brewers here. I don't trust Joe Musgrove right now. He had one great start against the Cardinals, but outside of that, he's allowed at least 4 earned runs in every single start, which against the Cubs took a 5-1 loss, against the Giants 8-3 loss. And then we saw, in the Seoul, South Korea game, I'm not going to put a lot of into that. Maybe there were some juice balls out there because the first game was a little bit of a dud, then exploded for 26 runs in the next game. But yeah, I need to see it from Joe Musgrove before I can get behind him. And like I mentioned, right, this Brewers offense, shockingly, is starting to absolutely rake the baseball. It's at tops in most of those offensive statistical categories that we love looking at here. So yeah, I'll take the plus price here, the slight favorite for the plus price right now for the Milwaukee Brewers at +105 against the Padres. 7:40 Eastern start. This Kansas City Royals, they are in Chicago to take on the White Sox. Seth Lugo gets to start here for the Kansas City Royals, and Nick Mastriani gets to start here for the Chicago White Sox. +160 on the money line for the White Sox, -192 for the Kansas City Royals. Total is set at 9 in this game here. Griffin, the White Sox, where do we even start? Or if you want to talk about this team, but the Royals, I mean, they've gone off to a great start here. What are you thinking about this matchup?
I feel like the White Sox are the Oakland Athletics of last season. Yeah. I'm going to try to avoid them. I'm going to bet them once. They'll get perfect games, and then I will just stay away and try to look past them for the rest of the season. I'm not sure. I'm sure Nick Mastriani is a really nice person. Never seen that name before besides it popping up on this list of probable pitchers when I was making my lines today. I tried to make the Royals as big as I could. I don't think I got really very close to this number. I guess I made it. I was right in the range. Just basically making the White Sox as big of an underdog as I can every game. That's not really a recipe for success in my experience. Seth Lugo has been really good to start the year until you look at him striking out like 2 batters per 6 innings. Seems like every start he's getting 3 double plays, which will not last forever. But the White Sox weren't trying to be good, have been really, you could argue, not trying to be good for a decade, ever since Kenny Williams took the job, maybe even longer. But he's out of that position, I think. And now they're really hurt by injuries, potentially signing Tommy Pham. That will, I'm sure, help the clubhouse or maybe ruin it even worse than it already is. So I'm not really sure what to do with this one. I think Seth Lugo could be in for a rude awakening. At some point it will come. And I think the White Sox are going to struggle to get outs. So Kansas City could hit this over themselves. They'll take over 9.
Yeah, Seth Lugo's actually, been really good. He actually did face this White Sox team back on April 4th on Thursday. Had a very nice outing, 6 2/3, allowed 8 hits, but 1 earned run in that game. Not a huge strikeout guy either, but he's been really solid for this Kansas City Royals team thus far this season. So, again, you get all 9 at bats for this Royals team. I would look at the run line here, maybe their team total to go over in the game there as well. Like you mentioned, so Royals team total over, run line for me. I can't get there with my money on the Chicago White Sox. So I'm sorry. So we're all over the Royals here in this game. 9:40 Eastern start. The St. Louis Cardinals, they are going to take on the Oakland A's. Sonny Gray gets to start here for the St. Louis Cardinals. and Ross Stripling gets a start here for the Oakland A's. Cardinals, a minus 175 road favorite here, plus 145 on the money line for the Oakland A's. Total is set at 8 in this game with a little bit of juice towards the under at minus 118. Griffin, Cardinals, a minus 175 price against the Oakland A's here. Who've been sneaky, I would say.
Yeah, Ross Stripling, I mean, he'll go out there and almost throw a no-hitter, and then he'll lose his starting job two starts later. So who knows what's happening there? I think there's a huge dichotomy between the St. Louis Cardinals first half number, or first five, versus full game, because Sonny Gray is probably still working his way back to full fitness. I think he's healthy, but I don't think he's up to his normal five innings that we've seen a lot in his career. And I think Rocco Baldelli just loved yanking him after five. I was like, no way are you seeing the sixth. I think we're at least that scenario here as he's working his way in. Probably good to have a rehab start against a double A athletics potential team, but they've been playing better than I think expected. They've been sneaky, as you said. I don't really believe that Oakland will put a bunch of trouble. I don't think they're going to stress Sonny Gray too much. It's a great park for unders, huge foul territory. I'll probably say this every time I talk about a game in Oakland, but I'll go under 8 for my best bet on this one.
Yeah, I think for the Oakland A's here, I mean, number one, you mentioned, right, on the pod that you're going into a stadium here with the most amount of foul territory. And obviously that is only to the advantage of the starting pitchers or pitchers in general in this ballpark. But Sonny Gray had a solid start in his first start for the Cardinals this year, right? It was back on Tuesday. 5 innings pitched, shutout baseball. It did allow 5 hits in that game, but also 5 strikeouts to no walks in that game. And I think that he can continue that success here against the Oakland A's. You mentioned Ross Stripling can, again, look like a great pitcher, which he did against the Boston Red Sox, but fell back right down to earth against the Texas Rangers in 6 innings, allowed 11 hits, 6 earned runs, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts in that game there. So, I do trust Sonny Gray in this situation. I think I do obviously have the better pitcher on the mound here. I'm not sure the Oakland A's will be able to generate a whole heck of a lot of offense in this game. I could see a world of like a 4-1, 4-2 type of victory here that does get under the total for this game. But I do think the Cardinals are in line here to get the victory behind Sonny Gray. So I think that run line price at minus 102, I do like here for the Cardinals. Another 9:40 Eastern start. The Chicago Cubbies, they are headed to Arizona to take on the Diamondbacks. Ben Brown gets a start here for the Cubs. Merrill Kelly on the mound here for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are a minus 142 home favorite, plus 120 on the money line for the Chicago Cubs. Total is set at 8.5 in this game. And the Cubbies have looked pretty good this season. 9-6 thus far this season. They've won 2 games in a row against Seattle. Meanwhile, let's take a look at the Arizona Diamondbacks here, Griffin. They are 8-8 on the season thus far. They've also won 2 games in a row, but they have their second quote-unquote ace on the mound here against the Cubs. What are you thinking about this battle between the Cubs and the Diamondbacks?
I think it's a good spot for the Diamondbacks, staying at home after a St. Louis series. White Sox on the mind. The Cubs coming down from Seattle, back-to-back road series, so sounds like a road trip. Ben Brown is one of their big prospects, but I don't know that he's going to offer a ton of length, and I'm not sure really that he's kind of proven himself at the major league level just yet. At this point, like, throw out strikeout numbers and how great you are in the minors until you prove you can do it at this level. I think this price is a little bit bigger than I'd want, but I think Arizona minus 142 is my play on this one. I think Merrill Kelly has proven himself at this point, and the nice part of Chicago, even if they do have a lead late, they use both Adbert Alzolay and Hector Neris their last 2 games. And I think they use Mark Leiter Jr. as well. So that bullpen should be, let's just say, unavailable in a lot of different areas, in important areas. And they really gutted one out today, which looked like a 3-0 lead could have been blown in 5 different innings. But somehow the Cubs held on for my 3-star best bet winner today. So thank you, Cubs. And now I'm going to go against you tomorrow.
Merrill Kelly at home. I mean, I think that's
hard to beat.
Yeah, very hard to beat, right? 2-0 thus far this season overall, 2.29 ERA at home this season. He's made two starts, was against the Yankees and the Rockies. 13 2/3 innings pitch in that game, only allowed 3 earned runs in that span, 12 strikeouts to just 1 walk. So, again, a tough travel spot as well. Seattle going down to Arizona. I mean, not a huge trip, but again, I think you mentioned it, number one, that this bullpen is probably a little bit
longer trip than you'd think, by the way. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's not, I mean, Seattle is way up there.
Yeah. And then now you're traveling all the way down to the desert as well. So, look, yeah. Ben Brown has been pretty solid. He made his first start for this Cubs team against the Padres, had a great outing, 4 2/3, 3 hits, 5 strikeouts. But again, like we mentioned, it's Merrill Kelly at home. So I do like Merrill Kelly here at home. -142 on the money line right now is the price here. And like you mentioned, right, the travel situation for the Cubs and Diamondbacks going to stay at home as well. So all that with Merrill Kelly at home, I will take the Diamondbacks on the money line here as well. Last game that has betting lines for us, that's going to be a 9:42 Eastern start. The Cincinnati Reds, they are in Seattle to take on the Mariners. Frankie Montas gets to start here for the Cincinnati Reds and George Kirby on the mound here for the Seattle Mariners. Mariners are a -148 home favorite with the money line +124 for the Cincinnati Reds. Total is set at 7.5 in this game here, Griffin. Cincinnati Reds versus the Seattle Mariners to close us out.
Yeah, to close us out. Frankie Montas hasn't been the same since the steroid suspension. And that was 3 years ago, I think. George Kirby, there's too many strikes, has been getting blasted at times so far this season. Also was dominant in Seattle all last season, really. Hard to really say where to go with this one. Seattle's bullpen, usually the strongest part of their team. I think they're still trying to figure out roles like a lot of teams are at this point, I guess. So that should probably go without saying. Cincinnati, I mean, they, to me, haven't hit the ball at all so far this season, despite playing in a great park. And it hasn't really been that cold either. I think Cincinnati goes up to Seattle, fairly long trip. And just ultimately, I'm not a believer in Frankie Montas at this point. But I think the price is too high on Seattle at home. I think they're probably likely to win this one, and that'll shave off an at bat if they win in 9 innings in regulation. So I'll go under 7.5 or a first 5 under. But I think you probably want the extra time to get the bullpens in there to really, like, I think, draw out these weak offenses. So I guess under 7.5 is my bet on this one.
Yeah, Kirby, coming off of 2 shaky starts, to say the least. He's allowed 13 earned runs over his last 2 starts against the Blue Jays and the Cleveland Guardians. And, you know, being back at home, is that going to, you know, cure his woes a little bit? You know, we talked a lot about Seattle being a pitcher-friendly ballpark. And Frankie Montas has been pretty solid. I know he had a bit of a rough outing against the Milwaukee Brewers, but at this point, who's not having a rough outing against that offense? But I think at this spot here where, again, the Mariners offense, I think, has struggled a little bit. The Reds, we know that they are capable of scoring runs, but I'm not sure if they'll be able to do it against George Kirby being back at home. I think I like the Reds in the first 5 spot here with Frankie Montas is backing him and taking the Reds bullpen out of it. Would I be surprised if the Mariners came from behind in this game? Absolutely not. But I think that I do trust Frankie Montas in the spot here against the Mariners, at least in the first 5 here. I could see like a 2-1 maybe type of lead for them at the end of 5 in this game. I agree about you with the under in this game being in Seattle, number one. And I think these are a good spot here for George Kirby being back at home, who doesn't walk a lot of guys, you know, throws a lot of strikes. But it's, again, I think this can sneak under the total here of 7.5. So that is the schedule of lines that we have out right now. 12 games. I know there are 15 games on the schedule right now. We have lines for 12 of those games here, Griffin. Let's close it out here with our best bets coming off of a 2-0 pod in our last episode, 7-3 on our best bets combined, firing at 70%. What do you got for your best bet for the people?
Yeah, well, first of all, cheers to 70%. Awesome start for us. Let's hope by the end of this podcast season that we are still 70%, because who knows, I might be broadcasting from an island at that point, and I might own it. But for my best bet on this podcast, I'm going to go with those Milwaukee Brewers. Joe Ross is a little bit hard to back at this point, but I like last at bats. I like fading teams that I think are overvalued. I like teams, fading teams that are taking half country flight, late night as well, off of a big win over a rival. I think there's so many things pointing the correct direction here to back Milwaukee, and they're hitting the ball, like you've been saying. Plus 110, I just see an update on DraftKings. So I'll take Milwaukee plus 110, take it all the way to the bank.
There we go. All right, for my best bet, I'm going to go with that team that absolutely crushes it in April, Pittsburgh Pirates. Give me the money line here. I currently see that at even money over on DraftKings right now. Let me see if there is a better line out there for the Pittsburgh Pirates here. See a plus 106 over on FanDuel. So again, some a little bit of plus odds there with the Pittsburgh Pirates. But again, we talked about this team. Martin Perez, who's been an absolute gem thus far this season for this Pittsburgh Pirates rotation. He's gotten the run support, but not his last start with a bullpen. Absolutely blew it after he threw eight beautiful innings. Adrian Hauser is a guy that I think both Griff and I just don't trust. And I think that, you know, we saw that in his last start against the Braves, where he five innings allowed five earned runs in that game. The Mets went on to lose that game 6-5. But again, it's the also the fact that I don't trust this offense right now for the New York Mets either. I know they had really good numbers that they did put up as far as scoring runs against the Atlanta Braves. But again, I think that right now, this Pirates team is in great form right now, 11-5 on the season. And they're actually 8-3 on the road thus far this season. So when you're a team that's winning games on the road, you're going to have success no matter what league it's in. So Pittsburgh Pirates for me on the money line, currently at plus 106 over on FanDuel as my best bet here, Griffin. Any thoughts on the Pirates?
Like it too. Hard for me to argue about fading Adrian Hauser back in Martin Perez. Just make sure you do your taxes enough.
I will be on that first thing in the morning. And if I tell Griffin that I did not take her my part by the night on Monday night, I'm sure he was going to be highly disappointed in me since he's mentioned it 3 to 4 times here on the pod. So guys, make sure you guys do your taxes. Or Griffin is not going to be a very happy camper. Come back on Thursday.
Yeah, make me. I want to be a happy camper. Please make me a happy camper.
There we go. All right, that is going to wrap it up for this edition of the MLB podcast on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. Griffin, any parting words for our listeners other than do your taxes?
Do your taxes. Use promo code MLB50. Save $50, and that'll just guarantee more shows from Munaf and I.
Yes, sir. We'll be back later in this week as usual. So look out for us then. Hopefully we do have another sweep for our picks. Feeling good about it again. So new week of baseball is here. So let's get it. Let's start it off on a winning note here. We'll talk to you guys later this week. Till then, good luck with your bets. Let's break these books off and we'll talk to you guys down the road.